Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 5. This is the continuation of what we started earlier about justification by the blood. In verse 9, the Word of God says, "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Much more than now being justified by the blood, by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We are justified by the blood. We have to understand this. The blood is our justification. It is literal blood. It is not figurative. There are places in the Bible where it's used figuratively, but there's many places in the Bible that it's speaking of the literal blood. It's not simply talking about death. Death was the cross, the death was necessary, but it was not alone. We needed the death and the blood. We needed the death and the blood. We needed the payment of the penalty, and we needed something to deal with sins. The death dealt with the penalty, if you will, of the old sin nature. But the blood deals with our everyday experience, which is inherently sinful, when we are living apart from the cross and apart from God consciousness. Now, in Romans 8, and let's turn there for a moment. In verse 30, the Word of God says, "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified." Aorist active. That means He did it, and it's an eternal reality. He justified them out of time, and He established it in eternity. "And whom He justified, He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Who is it that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are much more." We are more than, is really much more. "We are more than conquerors. As it is written, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is a blood reality. Do you understand this? This is a blood reality. Why am I making an emphasis on it? Because so often believers feel that they are in some way separated from God. They fail and they feel like that failure in some way, they understand that generally they are not rejected by God, but they feel that that little failure is like a little hurdle between them and God. It is not, it has been removed. There is absolutely nothing great or small that can separate you from the pure and unequivocal love of God. No sin can separate you from the love of God. Why? Because the blood deals with all your sins. No mistake, no insecurity, no anything, no person, no demon can separate you from the pure, unadulterated, complete and full love of God. Nothing can. Absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. And the only reason why anybody has an issue with separation from the love of God in their experience is because they do not mix faith with the blood. You always mix faith with the blood. Why? Because through faith, the blood justifies. I may fail, but I'm justified by the blood because I believe on the blood. History is only in existence so long as it is remembered. There is no history that exists that is not remembered. If it is not remembered, it doesn't exist. Because history is not present. You can show me the effects of history, you cannot show me history itself. You can show me a tablet with hieroglyphics, you cannot bring me to the time when that happened. So the hieroglyphics are a token of remembrance. We never live in any token of remembrance. This is why I advise people that if they had, prior to salvation or whenever, some tokens that would bring remembrance, that they get rid of the tokens if those things were not of God. Why? History only exists so long as it's remembered. We are justified by the blood. Its historical existence is removed. And so nothing separates us from the love of God, because anything that could have possibly done so is removed. And it no longer exists. It is not a part of me. It is not my identity. It's not a part of my history. It's not a part of my life. It's not a part of my memory. It's not a part of my frame of reference. It's not a part of my consciousness. It's not a part of my conscience. It has nothing to do with me. The dead and gone has no place with the living here and now. So we do not bring into recollection. We allow our minds and conscience and memories to be purged. Have you ever been in a place that purges files or records or even library? They purge books, old books, they get rid of them. You get rid of some old books in a library and you get a couple new librarians in there, and 10 years later somebody comes by and says, "Do you guys have this old book?" And they say, "Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it. I don't think we have it on the shelves. Have you ever had it?" "I don't know." No recollection. No recollection. The same as no existence. No recollection. The blood is what justifies us, because in that recollection we have an element of sin. In that consciousness we have an element of sin, but the blood takes it away from us. We are completely justified by the blood, and this is why we are acceptable to God, and this is what we have been predestinated unto. The eternal plan of God. The eternal plan of God. Just in the same way that the fall was permitted so that the fullness of grace can be revealed, so the fullness of the love of God can be revealed, there is one thing that we have not mentioned yet. That the character and the power and the efficacy of the blood of Christ could not be revealed without the fall. Because the blood is what the blood always has been. And this is why the Lamb was slain prior, sometime in eternity past, to the existence of creation, and on that the world was established in Revelation 13:8, because the blood itself needs expression. While we have a triune God, He's not a triune man. He's still a triune God. And there are certain characteristics of God that the man does not possess, and one of those is that there is power that must be manifest in His blood. And the fullness of the love of God is inextricably connected to the power of the blood of Christ. So it was part of the full expression of the love of God that the love of God sent the Lamb to be slain and commissioned the blood to operate on our behalf. The fullness of God would not have been manifested without the fall. We are predestinated to experience the fullness of the power of the blood of Christ. And in that predestination, we have a calling to it. We are called to experience purity through the blood. We are not called and not intended to sin. But God does work all things together for good. We are not called to sin, but sin exists. In every one of our lives, it exists to one measure or another. Why? Because we have it in our DNA. We have that sin nature. It may be something as simple as wavering regarding a promise for a few minutes, or it may be something as serious as murdering someone. But in any case, in every one of our lives, it exists. In every one of our lives, we need the full and complete manifestation of the power of the blood of Christ. This is part of the glory of God. But it's not only God who is glorified in this. In whom that He is called to be justified by the blood, He justifies them by that blood. And that justification has an eternal effect. So we are eternally justified, always have been thereby, because eternity has no beginning and it has no end. That means as far as God goes, as far as reality is concerned, now I can't speak to people's little delusions, but as far as reality is concerned, we've always been justified. I'm sure that somebody somewhere out there is taking an issue with the fact that I call it a delusion. You ever build a sandcastle as a kid? Did you think it was a real castle that would last for hundreds of years? It was a delusion if you did. But what happens? Something comes over it and sweeps it away, and you can never find a trace of it again, and you cannot even claim that it ever existed. Because it is no different where the little sandcastle was in the sand than the rest of the sand. What sweeps it away? Water. We are cleansed by the blood through the washing of the water of the Word. The Word of God defines for me the blood of Christ. And this is how I become cleansed by the washing of the water. This is why out of Christ's side came blood and water. There's those people who claim, by the way, that Christ wasn't dead. But I got news for you. Water separates from the rest of the blood only when the person has died, not when they are alive. A beating heart keeps it nicely mixed. Only after the heart has stopped bleeding will the components separate. Out of his side came water and blood. Death. Why? To give efficacy to the water and blood. Just the same way that the woman is born out of the side of the man, our lives with Christ are born out of the side of the Savior through the water and the blood. And so we have complete cleansing. Not with just the cleansing of the memory. Yes, with the cleansing of the memory, but if it was simply with a cleansing of a memory, then Satan would say that God is a liar and he would be right. It is the removal of the sin from your history. It's not that it doesn't exist any longer, it's the aorist tense, it has never existed. Do you understand this? That our sins, when the blood takes over, have never existed. Because it is an aorist tense. This is why no one ever has to live in guilt. This is the very foundation of the purging. First, it removes it from the mind of God, thereby removing it from existence. When it is removed from existence and I mix faith with the blood, it's removed from me. Because I don't bother remembering things that don't take place. Yet Christian after Christian lives in the imaginations of a lie. That somehow, in some way, they have some sort of sin attached to them. And they say, I can remember, but it is a vain imagination. You see, this element of the blood, the element of the reality of God, is very different than human reasoning. It's very different than the human mind. But then again, I hope so. Because if it is simply according to the human mind, then I'm in trouble. God's economy is different than man's. God is the Creator and He is eternal. See, we have this thing where we like to live very linearly. It's a mistake. You can't have a linear life with an eternal God. Yes, between ourselves and in our history and temporal realm, we do have a linear experience in that sense. Yes, obviously. But we cannot say, how can God remove yesterday? Yesterday is a concept that doesn't exist. So how can God remove yesterday? It's called forgetting. If you doubt it, show me yesterday. I'm sure that somebody will pull out a calendar. There's yesterday. He showed me a piece of paper. Show me yesterday. For that matter, show me tomorrow. How many people worry about what's going to happen tomorrow? By the way, the blood has taken care of your tomorrow. Show me tomorrow. Again, they'll pull out a calendar. There's tomorrow. He showed me a piece of paper. Show me tomorrow. The only thing that really exists is now. This is why, as Pastor Stephen said, we live in the eternal is. Because the only thing that really exists is now, in the temporal realm. But there is eternity. And eternity exists. And when God acts, He acts in, through, and by eternity. In other words, He can take away the past. Just like He can set up the future, He can take away the past. How? Forgetting. Because that's the only thing of the past that actually exists. So we forget. We may set up tokens of remembrance. Destroy the token, you destroy the remembrance. There is no more remembrance then. So we apply the blood. And we apply it by faith. And every aspect of our lives, on a moment-by-moment basis, has the blood applied to it in the Spirit-filled believer's life. We apply the blood. We have been called to this. Part of God's purpose for us in our lives is that we learn moment by moment to apply the blood. What happens after that? Whom He has justified, He has also glorified. Glorified is talking about us. God never needed to be justified. We did. Glorified is talking about us. He justified us and then He glorifies us. The word there in the original language is doxazo. It's the aorist active. Again, He does it and it's an eternal reality from eternity past to eternity future and now included. And it means to recognize or to honor or to praise, to invest with dignity, and to give anyone esteem or honor by putting him into an honorable position. The believer has nothing but an honorable position. Whether they experience that honorable position or not is entirely dependent on whether or not they mix faith with the blood. But the believer is entirely in an honorable position. What is that honorable position? Seated with Christ in Him in the heavenlies at the right hand of God for all eternity. That is our honorable position. We've died with Him, we've been buried with Him, we've been raised with Him, and we are seated with Him at God's right hand. That's our honorable position. And it comes strictly through the blood. We were designed and called through predestination unto this experience of the blood. Because the blood required expression. And the reason is because it's sent by love. It's commissioned by God's love. Not because of love, by love. The love of God is an intrinsic quality of the character of Christ, has an identity of its own. And it sent the blood. Now, sin has never been an issue with God. On the fourth day in Genesis 1, 14 through 17, the Word of God says that God essentially wrote the gospel in the stars. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it means in the original language. God wrote the gospel in the stars. That means that the blood had been in place before man was ever on the scene. His everlasting arms have always been beneath us, and He has always been our refuge. And since His everlasting arms are beneath us, mind you, they are everlasting, sin has never been an issue with God. The blood was shed before the world began. And though sin has the ability to separate us from God, it is not an issue with God because the provision for the separation was in existence before we were. And so no matter what the problem is, no matter what the failure is, no matter how great it is, it's never been an issue. These people who say, "I have to clean myself up," they have no clue. We know they don't need to. But sometimes they say, "Okay, I have this one attitude, I have to clean myself up before I get saved." And then there's the attitude, "I have to clean myself up after I get saved." Good luck with that. The blood is what cleans me up. Now here's the thing. We've been eternally predestinated. And I have to be careful with this because this one is easy to misunderstand. We're not Calvinists. We're not Arminians either. When I was eternally predestined, I was eternally justified and eternally glorified. And it was because of the blood. Not everyone is in that position. Yet no one was intended for hell. No one was intended for hell. The difference is, how did I attain the predestination? And the answer is by faith in the blood. The decision is made in the temporal realm. The effects are eternal. So in the temporal realm, in time, I trust the blood of Christ. And the result for my life is an eternal result. And this is exactly why some human beings are predestinated for heaven and others are allowed into hell. It was not God's will that they should go there. It's God's will that all men be saved, that all should come to the knowledge of Christ and that no man should perish. But yet only some are predestined for heaven. Some are predestined for justification. Some are predestined for glorification. Now, it's not that God, we often say it is, but really here it's telling us something different in the original language because of that aorist tense. We like to explain it because it kind of works with our human mind that in eternity past, God knew what we would do. And yes, it's true that's what He did know what we would do, but that wasn't the foundation of it. The foundation of it was the eternal effect of the blood. The blood reached into eternity. And it brought me with it. And eternity has no beginning and it has no end. And so the reason why I could have been predestinated and called and justified and glorified was because by mixing faith, my position has become eternal. By not mixing faith, I never had a place. It's almost like I was injected into eternity. You ever inject dye into something? All of a sudden spreads across the whole thing, not just the injection point. We tend to think of it, we get injected and we only go in one direction. Future. But it goes throughout all eternity. The injection point, if you will, is faith in the blood. And so the blood is responsible for my eternal position with God, eternal place that I have with Him. It is responsible for the fact that there is a place found for the believer in heaven, and there is no place found for the unsaved. At the white throne, no place is found for them. Not even a place to rest their foot. No place is found for them. And it's not that God would be unwilling or undesirous. It's that they never mixed faith and therefore never went into the eternal realm in that sense. This is why we have eternal life now. Yes, we have biological life, but the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. It's His life in me. It's because of the blood. The cross is what initiated it, but the power was in the blood. So we are not separable from the love of God. Why? Because of the blood. We cannot ever be separated from the love of God. Why? Because we're already there. We already have God's everlasting arms beneath us. We're already in the hand of Christ and we are already in eternity and our roots are eternal. We brought ourselves to a place where we've always been in eternity, are now and always will be with God. There is no separation of us. Because Christ initiated the process through His death. Christ died. Who shall separate us? Christ died. Who shall condemn us? Christ died. Nobody can do any of those. In that death, He initiated the effect of the blood. This is when Hebrews talks about the death of the testator. In that death, He initiated the effect of the blood. We cannot be separated from the love of God. Because the love of God sacrificed the Son. The love of God commissioned the Son's blood. It was the love of God that initiated the reconciliation. So how can we be separated from that which is initiating a reconciliation? In order for us to be separated from the love of God, you have to eliminate the initiation. But the initiation had taken place and the world was established on it. And so there is no ability to separate us from the love of God. Why? Because it's finished. Because the blood is real. And it's a moment by moment reality that reaches into eternity past and eternity future. And by this token, if you will, I have the righteousness of Christ. And so God honors the blood because the blood is efficacious because He sent it. It's like sending an ambassador and then disavowing him. God sent the blood. And it had its effect. And it had the authority. And it had the power. And it had the results. God sent the blood. And now we have our place in eternity. It was the blood. Do you understand now why Satan attacks the blood? Why so much of an attack in Christianity is against the blood? There are certain very big named Christians or very big named ministries in this country, I'm not going to name them, who don't even believe in the blood. Well, then they don't believe in anything that has our foundation and our place before God, that establishes us before Him. I can't help but wonder, I don't know, but I can't help but wonder, is it even possible if I deny a doctrine as cardinal as the blood of Christ to be saved? I may as well deny the virgin birth. I may as well deny the deity of Christ. Because really, if I deny the power of the blood, if I deny the nature of the blood, I am denying the deity of Christ. I am denying the salvation of Christ. I am denying the efficacy of the cross. I'm denying the whole package. The blood is key. The blood is key. That's why in Genesis chapter 3, when the fall had taken place, God got Adam and Eve's attention and shed blood. Because although their position was already taken care of, the very first thing that He did to take care of their experience was shedding blood. Because blood brought them back. And though He would not allow them to stay in the garden where they could live for eternity in a fallen condition, He did clothe them, cover them, shed the blood, restored them, reconciled them, gave them a promise, and accepted them into heaven out of a garden. They ended up better off after the fact. But then again, Ecclesiastes does tell us that the end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. And it was true for Adam and Eve, and it's true for us. It's in the blood. Our justification and our eternity is in the blood. Amen?